This is VOA News. I'm Joe Ramsey. A U.S. official says North Korean leader Kim Jong-un may travel to Russia for a summit with President Vladimir Putin, the AP's Ed Donahue reports.
Russia may be looking to buy ammunition from North Korea for its war in Ukraine.
This is not going to reflect well on North Korea, and they will pay a price for this.
National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan could not speak to the timing on a possible meeting, but said discussions had been advancing.
I think it says a lot that Russia is having to turn to a country like North Korea to seek to bolster its defense capacity in a war that it expected would be over in a week.
Sullivan says the administration would look for opportunities to convince the North Koreans not to provide Russia with additional weaponry. Ed Donahue, Washington.
A major aid group on Tuesday warned international attentions towards Ukraine was waning and it was bracing for less dollar funding to finance operations in the battle-scarred country as Russia's war continues with no clear end in sight. David Miliband, chief of the International Rescue Committee, said his central concern with the 18-month war was the ongoing humanitarian crisis caused by Russia's invasion.
Just in the last few days, we've had attacks on very important aspects of the grain refining business. That's another abnormal, but the danger is it becomes normalized.
Cuba has uncovered a human trafficking ring that bullied its citizens to fight for Russia in the war in Ukraine, its foreign ministry said, adding Cuban authorities were working to neutralize and dismantle the network. The statement from Cuba's foreign ministry late on Monday gave few details, but noted the trafficking ring was operating both within the Caribbean island nation, thousands of miles from Moscow and in Russia. This is VOA News. Rising tension in Ethiopia's Amhara region from sporadic fighting between the federal government and local militia groups known as FANO is causing shortages of goods and reducing healthcare services. Maya Misiker reports from Addis Ababa.
The Ethiopian government declared a state of emergency in the Amhara region in early August, restricting movement and transferring the region's administration to a military command post. Fighting between FANO forces and federal troops reached its peak in early August after months of skirmishes following government orders to reintegrate the militia into the formal security structure. A recent UN report says that has resulted in the deaths of over 180 people since July. The report adds that over 1,000 people have been arrested across the country since the declaration of a state of emergency. Maya Misiker, VOA News, Addis Ababa, Ethiopia.
17 soldiers and 36 volunteer fighters have been killed in heavy clashes with militants in northern Burkina Faso, the army said on Tuesday. The worst attack in months in the West African country that for years has been overrun by hardline militants. Burkina Faso has been battling armed groups, some with links to Al-Qaeda and Islamic State in its desert north since 2015. Attacks have worsened this year, making the country the epicenter of a violent movement. Hong Kong's top judges on Tuesday opened the path for sweeping legal protections for same-sex couples, but stopped short of full recognition of gay marriages after a landmark appeal by an LGBTQ activist in a ruling expected to be closely watched in Asia. Reuters correspondent Rachel Judah has more.
The ruling ends a five-year legal battle by jailed pro-democracy activist Jimmy Sham to get the government to recognize his marriage to a man in New York in 2013. While the five judges did not grant Sham's appeal that he had a constitutional right to a same-sex marriage in Hong Kong, they have demanded the government create new legal protections for same-sex couples in their daily lives. Lawyers and activists say that's significant, as it forges a path for the creation of a legal protection in a whole range of areas, potentially from healthcare and insurance to inheritance and taxation issues.
Reuters correspondent Rachel Judah. A former leader of the American right-wing Proud Boys group was sentenced on Tuesday to 22 years in prison for his role in the January 6, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol by supporters of then-President Donald Trump trying to overturn his election defeat. Enrique Tarrio was given the longest sentence so far handed down in connection with the January 6 riots despite not being at present at the U.S. Capitol building that day. Find more online, voanews.com. I'm Joe Ramsey.